Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I am Sharita Berry, your host of Women Talk, the Ensign and Family Radio Show. Don't forget to can follow us and subscribe to our podcast right here on Blog Talk Radio, Breaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all your podcast platforms. That's right. If you'd like to support the show and make a donation, you can do so via Google Pay. And the email for our Google Pay is P as in Paul, Y as in Yellow, Destiny, INTLMIN at gmail.com. If you are led and to support our podcast via donations, which is greatly accepted, the donations will help us upgrade from free to doing an hour podcast, 45-minute podcast, 2-hour podcast. Right now, we're in the free stage, so we can only do 30 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. And we can only do it one time a day. So if you'd like to make a donation to help us with upgrading our podcast, you can do so via Google Pay. And the Google Pay email is P as in Paul, Y as in Yellow, Destiny, I-N, T as in Tom, L as in Larry, M as in Mary, I as in Ice Cream, and as in Nancy, at gmail.com. So that's P-Y, Destiny, I-N-T-L-M-I-N, at gmail.com. Well, this is March, a new month. Yes, indeed, a new month. We are embarking on. Some people say this is March Madness, and so a lot of things happen in the month of March. It's St. Patrick's Day, a lot of people have birthdays. So many different things take place in the month, the month of March. Let's see. St. Patrick's Day, Ramadan, those that are my fellow Muslim sisters and brothers, I have Muslims in my family, and I do respect them. The beginning of Ramadan starts on the 22nd. Yes, daylight savings time is the 12th, so don't forget. Turn your clocks back or forward, so I'm not sure. But today is Holi, H-O-L-I. Apparently that is a holiday. So we're going to tell you what that is. It's a festival of colors. A festival of colors is today. Today is Holi. It celebrates the arrival of spring in India. So it's a festival of colors in the winter and a blossoming of love. And for many, it is a festival day to meet others, play, laugh, forget, and forgive, and repair broken relationships. The festival is also known as Invocation of a Good Spring Harvest Season. So people in India celebrate that today. So like I said, there are a lot of different things taking place in the month of March. And one of the greatest things that take place in the month of March, what I should think should be every day, is Women's History Month. That's right. March is also Women's History Month. Now, we know all the great women that have done some extraordinary things and paved the way for us women to vote and to be self-sufficient, to go out there and work and be independent and all that good stuff. You know, we know about Harriet Tubman. We know about Madam C.J. Walker. We know about Rosa Parks. We know about this one, that one, that one. We know about Serena and all of them, President Barack Obama's wife. We know about all of them women, beautiful women that did some extraordinary things. We know about Maya Angelou. But we don't really know about a lot of women that that done some extraordinary things, whether they done simple things that moved the country or paved the way for a neighborhood community or whatever the case may be. But today we're going to go to ideas.ted.com. And this reporter, her name is Keisha Mann, to talk about the five black women that made history and why we should know their names. So we're going to talk about them on today and why we should know their names. Like I said, that's not just five women, but there are a lot of, I don't say African-American, I say brown, because black is the color of the street, black is the color of tar, black is the color of crayon. So I say brown women, beautiful brown women. We should know about all across the board that have done some extraordinary things. So we're going to talk about these women that she mentioned and why we should know who they are. So the first one, she was an explorer. Her name is Elizabeth D. Olivia. And she was an explorer in the early 1600s. She was born in Mexico in the late 1500s to an African father and an Indian mother. As young, she was unmarried, free, mixed race woman in the 1600s. She sought permission and protection from the mayor of Guantanamo to join an upcoming expedition to New Spain, or present-day New Mexico, Arizona, and Florida. Although historians are not sure of her motives, some records suggest that she may have been hoping to assist recently settled families at her final destination. She petitioned to the mayor to provide her with written permission, providing she was indeed a free woman because she was black. She knew she couldn't be claimed as property by men she encountered on her journey. Her appeal to the mayor ended with his simple but clear declaration, "I demand justice." Yeah. Why her story should be told. Simply put, existence is as free. Women in the 1600s challenged the narrative that the black experience in America began only when Africans were forcibly brought to this country and enslaved. Her journey is among the earliest recorded instances of black people fighting for liberty in North America, an act of resistance that is repeated throughout history. Freedom is always fought, and black women are always demanding justice to be treated like human beings, says Dr. Berry. And Isabel is one of the first women we can identify who is doing just that. So she was the first woman to stand up, demand justice. Like I said, there are a lot of women of color, throughout history that we do not know their names. We don't know who they are, but they've done some amazing, and I mean some amazing, amazing things to change history. Yes. Moving on. So the next one is the name to know. And Ms. McCoy, mother of twins Millie and Christine, 1830s. And this is an enslaved couple. Mamia and Jacob McCoy lived in North Carolina in the mid-19th century. In 1851, Mamia already had with the mother seven children, and she gave birth to conjoined twins Millie and Christina. They were enslaved parents, lived with a constant fear of being separated from their children at the auction block. That threat was more pronounced for the McCoys because Millie and Christina were considered genealogical wonders. You know, back then, children are born different, such as them, conjoined twins, and they considered them as wonders. So they would take them and put them in zoos and circuses and exploit them for profit. The girls such had their own limbs but were joined at the pelvis. Throughout their lives, they were sold, kidnapped, endured horrific and invasive medical exams, and forced to perform in sideshows. African Americans, brown people, women and men and children that were born different, that looked different, that had a peculiarity about them, they were put in sideshows, sideshow circuses that traveled across the country, made a mockery of and, you know, pointed and spat on and just was treated horribly. And they didn't receive no pay. Some did, some didn't. And they were just treated horribly. Like I said, with these two girls, they were captured. And like other African-American people, they were kidnapped and stolen from their farms and slave farms and different things. And medical people wanted to see, okay, what is so profound about their condition? So they were probed and pointed and cut and all this craziness. Despite her circumstances, their mother fought endlessly for her children. As tall as Millie and Christine were stolen and sent to Europe to perform in a staging act of black motherhood. Their mother traveled there along with the girls, owner and detective, wrote Drs. Berry and Gross in their book. The three bought tickets where the six-year-old twins were scheduled to perform. When McCoy was reunited with her daughters in the front row, she fainted. I wonder why she fainted. Probably seen a horrific sight. I would faint too. Following this reunion in the late 1850s, the court in Birmingham, England, granted full material rights to Millennium, Dr. Berry's, and Gross. Want to underscore how profound that moment was. For a rare moment in the 19th century history, a black mother who reunited with her daughters because she was their mother rather than taken away from them through the yoke of slavery, they wrote. Why this story should be told. Ms. McCoy's fierce efforts to protect her children foreshadows both historic and current examples of black motherhood, the legacy of black motherhood and strength, says Dr. Berry. Join a line from McCoy to the mothers of Emmett Till, Tyrone Martin, and Breonna Taylor, and other black mothers who've been thrust into the spotlight. I see Ms. McCoy and all these other mothers on television who don't want to be there but are fighting for their children and their child's life or fighting for a recognition and honor in their death. As Dr. Berry. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Another lady that we should know about. The name known, Frances Thompson, transgender advocate, 1840 to 1876. So we know the transgender thing, gay, LGBT thing, it goes way, 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 way back. People think, oh, it just popped up in the 80s. In the 80s, they were, you know, in the closet, really didn't. Nobody really came out. 70s, 60s, nobody really came out. But people knew who was what and who was not. But so this goes way back. Okay, here we go. Frances Thompson, transgender advocate, 1840, 1876. Although born into slavery in Alabama, and assigned male at birth by the age of 26, Frances Thompson was freed and living according to her own gender identity in a booming black community in Memphis, Tennessee. She kept her face clean shaven, wore brightly colored dresses, and took in washing to pay for paying. Then joined the deadly Memphis riot in 1866, Thompson and her roommate, a black woman, who were brutally robbed and gang raped by several white men, including two police officers. Thompson was assaulted, woman badly terrified, as a committee hearing held by the U.S. Congress, and she stated that she and her roommate did not consent. Her testimony became infamous throughout the South and led to 10 years of persecution for her gender identity, harassment, and accusations, including claims that she ran a brothel. Thompson was jailed in 1876 for cross-dressing and died later that year. But Gross and Berry note in their book that even though behind bars she suffered, but she never lost her fight, answering rude questions about her gender by responding, "None of your damn business." Why we should know her story. What is so powerful is that Thompson and the other women were terrified, who testified, go on record to say they did not consent, explains Dr. Gross. This is huge for black women because just 3 years before, they didn't have the right to their own bodies as enslaved women. Even free black women were often raped, and there was no justice available. What's more, with Thompson's example, we start to see black women being reclaimed their bodies and try to acquire citizenship to protect black womanhood, as Dr. Gross. Another reason why Thompson's story is important is the concept of transcestry, an idea that Dr. Gross credits to LGBTQ activist C.C. McDonald, who seeks to tell the early stories of transgender people living according to their gender identity. Just to acknowledge Thompson's resistance is powerful. As Dr. Gross put it, a woman in 1866 fought bravely to live her truth against unthinkable kinds of peril and odds, and we need to honor that so future generations know and see themselves reflected in our experience. Wow. So welcome to today's podcast, everyone. I'm your podcast host, Sherita Berry, a Women Talk the Inside Empowerment Radio Show right here on BTR, Blog Talk Radio. You can also follow, subscribe, and link up with us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and all your podcast platforms. That's right. And if you would like to support our podcast by helping us upgrade so that we can stay on the air longer than 30 or 15 minutes a day, you can do so by Google Pay. And the Google Pay email is P, as in Paul, Y as in yellow, Destiny, @gmail.com. That's if you would like to support our podcast and help me upgrade to more hours so we can stay on the air more longer than 30, 15 minutes a day, because that's all we get is either 15 or 30 minutes a day we have to choose from. We can upgrade to a more good airtime, and you can do so via Google Pay. And the email is pydestinyintlmin@gmail.com. If you'd like to email me, you can email me at SheritaBerry@iCloud.com. That's Sherita, SHARETA, Berry, BERRY, @iCloud.com. If you have a topic that you would like me to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email me, SheritaBerry@iCloud.com. iCloud, SheritaBerry@iCloud.com. We have some interview spots that are filling up for this fall. Come on, get on board. You have a book, you want to talk about some music, your business, entrepreneurship, anything you want to talk about, we're open to it. Anything underneath the sun, we're open to it. Come on, let's talk. and you would like to be a guest, that's SharitaBerry@iCloud.com. SharitaBerry@iCloud.com. So welcome to today's broadcast. And today we're talking about Women History Month. That's right, it's Women History Month. And we got a lot to talk about, so we're going to move on. So the next person we need to know about is Augusta Savage. Augusta Savage, artist, 1892-1962. Why did we know her story, her brief story? Born to a family of conservatives and a Methodist minister in Green Grove Springs, Florida, Savage exhibited a passion and a talent for art from an early age. She put aside her art and got married. Shortly after she gave birth to her only child, her husband passed away. After another marriage and an inspiring encounter with local potter, Savage left her husband and joined the Great Migration, heading to New York in 1921. There, she reinvented herself, saving 10 years of her age, referring to her then 14-year-old daughter as her sister, and contributing her talents the creation of a new black culture identifying identity during the Harlem Renaissance. Her greatest professional accomplishments included traveling to study in Paris, being the first black artist elected to the National Association of Women Painters and Sculptors, and receiving a commission to create art for the 1939 New York World Fair, a 16-foot high creation entitled Lift Every Voice, which was the inspiration for what became known as the Black National Anthem of the same name. Why her story should be told. Savage is defined by her talent, struggle, passion, self-determination, and celebration of blackness through her art. Her artwork, while it was very much rooted in the experience of black people, wasn't just about struggle and opposition, says Dr. Rose. It's about embracing who we are in as much more expansive way, and not just in resistance to white people. The ups and downs of Savage's life are an equally important piece of her legacy, according to Dr. Rose. She's a perfect model for showing how the kinds of progress that black women make isn't lunar. It ebbs and flows. That, for me, is a testament to our humanity. So she was the one that created the little sculpture that was dedicated to Lift Every Voice. That's supposed to be the black anthem. That's not my black anthem. I'm just saying. Hashtag IJF all day long. I'm just saying, y'all. So welcome to today's show. Host Sharita Berry. Women Talk, the Inside Empowerment Radio Show. Don't forget, you can like, share, subscribe to our YouTube page as well. That's right, we're on YouTube. We just started a YouTube page, and we'll be doing different things over there as well. So go to YouTube and type in Women Talk, the Inside Empowerment Radio Show. You can also subscribe, like, and share to our podcast page as well. We're on Spreaker, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all your podcast platforms. And don't forget, you can even follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. That's right, Blog Talk Radio. So that concludes our show on today. I hope that you had an awesome, awesome day. We just gave some prominent women that we never heard of before, because I never heard of these women before. Have you? I haven't. But there are so many women that made some important discoveries. I mean, that did some amazing, amazing black things. I mean, things. We have Sojourner Truth, Rosa Parks, Mary Chisholm, Harriet Tubman, so many women, Michelle Obama, so many women throughout history that did some extraordinary things. I'm just saying, y'all, hashtag IJS all day long. I'm just saying. Gloria Richards, Mary Jane Patterson, Miriam Wright, Y'all, I'm telling y'all, these are women that done some extraordinary things. Daisy Bates, Dr. Ann, Julia Cooper. Come on now. Black women, brown women, power up to the South Mall to explore, to go into the deep and learn about some woman that you never thought you would know. There's a woman that created some, that are women inventors, that are black African-American women inventors. Not just Madam C.J. Walker. There are other black women that invented some things. A hair dryer. Oh, my God, you just won't believe it. Oh, my God, it's just so, oh my goodness, it's just, oh, Sarah Boone, Mary Kenner. Where's Mary Kenner? Oh, my gosh. She improved bathroom tissue holder. Yes, she improved the bathroom tissue holder. Sarah Boone, oh, my God. She patented the ironing board. Yes, Sarah Boone, she patented the ironing board. And everybody know about Madam C.J. Walker. Bessie Griffin, she was a physical therapist, invented devices to help amputees and other wounded soldiers returning from World War II. Come on now. Come on now. I never heard about these women. Oh, my gosh. Judy Reed. Who is Judy Reed? She patented. Her patent is number 305-474. Judy Woodford Reed. Registered her dough kneader and roller on September 23rd. Come on now. Marjorie Joyner invented the permanent waving machine, which was used to perm or straighten hair by wrapping it in rods. Come on now. Annie Malone. Oh, she's from Illinois. She was a chemist, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. Self-made. She was the first. It says she's one of the America's first female self-made millionaires. Oh, my gosh. Come on, y'all. She was born in 1869. Come on, ladies. These are some women that we rarely even talk about doing. Women History Month, and even when it's Black History Month, which is, I think it should be every day, I'm just saying, #IGS, we don't talk about this stuff. We talk about the ones that we always know every year, the same old ones every year. Come on, branch out to the deep. Branch out to the deep. There are other women in history that done some extraordinary things. Mompreneurs. I remember I was on the magazine on Mompreneurs. I was featured in Mompreneurs magazine. I was so excited. That was like 3-4 years ago. It was like 2017, 2016, one of those years. But it was exciting to be a mompreneur. And I'm still a mompreneur, even though my children are grown, I got grandkids. But yeah. So if you're a woman of color, and you've done some extraordinary things, come on. Let us know so we can talk about and share you on air. Don't forget, you can email SharitaBurry@iCloud.com, SharitaBurry@iCloud.com. And don't forget, if you'd like to donate to help us upgrade our podcast broadcast hours, you can do Google Pay, and the email is pydestinyintlmin@gmail.com. You can help, if you'd like to help us upgrade to more airtime, we take Google Pay, and the email is pydestinyintlmin@gmail.com. Until next time, ladies, peace, deuces, and I love you.